You here tonight? Boy, it's amazing kind of weather we have out here. Have mercy. Praise the Lord. There's hope coming. There's hope coming. Amen. There's warmth coming. All right. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. James chapter 1, verse 5, one verse there. And the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's read that again together, all right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Oh, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? And God will give you wisdom, and he won't get after you for doing it. Now, I want to talk to you about, you know, our God loves to give us things. This morning in Sunday school, I talked about how that our God prays for us. Our God gave the gift of us to Jesus Christ. And not only did he give the gift to Jesus Christ, but he also gave Jesus Christ to us. God loves to give us things. God loves to give us joy. God loves to give us peace. God loves to give us mercy, and he's long suffering. I'm glad that God loves to give gifts. I don't know about you, but I love giving things away. I do. I like giving things to people. Tonight I came in there and I had a bag of those fruit deals and started throwing at the kids. That's more fun than a barrel of monkeys, amen. Some of them getting smart now. They're trying to catch it, amen. But I love to give. I think that the more we become like Christ, the more we want to give, the more we want to be more like him. And so I hope tonight that this will encourage you tonight that you would give. One more time, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Father, I ask you tonight, you'd speak to us. Help us to live for you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. There's a quote that I really like. It's from Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great responded to one who was overwhelmed by his generosity. And he says, "Sir, I give like a king. Sir, I give like a king." You know, there's certain people that can give you something. Now, certain people can really give you something, amen. There are certain people that have a lot, and they can give it to people and not even miss it. And then there's other people that, boy, it's a real sacrifice for them to give, but they still give. But it's amazing how that, you know, Alexander here says, "Sir, I give like a king." He said, I give as a king. And so I hope to God that we as Christians, we would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ and be more like God. Jehovah gives us the finite guide, the God. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him without compromising the truth. I think you could take this and illustrate it by saying the scripture could be rendering asking the giving God. Asking the giving God. God loves to give because he is love, and God must give and will continue to give as long as there is life. And according to my Bible, according to your Bible, he is eternal, so he'll continue to give. In the latter part of the 17th century, a German preacher named Augustus F. Franke founded an orphanage to care for the homeless children in Halle, Germany. And one day, when Franke desperately needed some funds to carry out his work to these destitute children, a destitute Christian widow came to his door and begged him for some money. And because of his financial situation, he politely but regrettably told her, "Ma'am," he says, I have nothing to help you with. Disheartened, the woman began to weep. Moved by her tears, Frankie asked her to wait while he went into his room to pray. After seeing God's guidance, he felt the Holy Spirit wanted him to change his mind. And so, turning to the Lord to meet his own needs, he gave her the money. Two mornings later, he received a letter of thank you from the widow. She explained that because of his generosity, she had asked the Lord to shower the orphanage with gifts. The same day, Frankie received 12 ducats of gold from the wealthy lady and two more from a friend in Sweden. He thought he was amply rewarded for helping the widow, but he was soon informed that the orphanage would receive 500 gold pieces from the estate of Prince Ludwig van Württemberg. When he heard this, Frankie wept in gratitude and spiritually provided for the needy widow. He had been enriched, not impoverished. You see, God wants us to learn something. God wants us to give. It's hard for us to give. Brother, turn that off or turn it back on or do something. Man, that drives me crazy. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, that'll be fixed. Amen. I got Jackie from the NR recording coming over here to help us with that. You know, there are some times in our lives that we get very selfish. A man said there's never a man that's more selfish than when he's on vacation. He's saved. Now he's on vacation. He doesn't want to help anybody. He's trying to have his vacation. And it seems like every time if I go on vacation, there's always somebody who wants something or needs some help. Amen. We are to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to emulate God in everything we do and everything we say. First of all, what does God want to give us? Well, he wants to give us wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, the new king, King Solomon, is a Gibeon, and he appears, and God appears to him in a dream, and God said, "Ask what I will give thee." Ask what I shall give thee, God said to Solomon. And I've read this over and read this over, and I think, here's a man asleep. Just think that it's raining outside, amen. Here's a guy asleep, okay? And all of a sudden, he has the mind that he wants to do the best for his country. I mean, when I'm sleeping, I don't know if I've got the right mind or not, amen? But when he was sleeping, he had the right mind. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy." This is in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, if you're looking for that. Now, verse 6. "According as he walked before thee in the truth, and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him with great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as in this day. And now, Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant's king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted by multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart." That's a pretty good desire, amen? "Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between the good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. Oh, how we are in need of wisdom from God. Everything that we do and say, we need wisdom constantly. We need wisdom. We need wisdom how to train our children. We need wisdom how to approach certain things. We need wisdom how to to spend our very precious money that God has given to us. We need wisdom to do exactly what God tells us to do. We need wisdom to read the Bible and to interpret the Bible as the Bible is supposed to be interpreted. Amen? We need wisdom to know how we ought to act around certain people and do around people, and we need wisdom around the worldly people that try to cause everything they can to trip us up or stall us or stagnate us. We need wisdom to every step that we take in our life. And so, we need wisdom from God. Secondly, who will God give wisdom to? Well, God promised to give wisdom to all. God is no respecter of person. Listen to Jacob as he prays to God for wisdom on how he is to handle his angry brother, Esau. Yes, God gave wisdom to the supplanter. God gave wisdom to this brother to meet with his irritated brother who was to meet in peace and friendship. Esau said, I'm going to kill you. Esau hated his brother. He despised his brother because what? Because of his stupidness of choosing food over the birthright of God. But still he did it. And he's begging God. And listen what, and Jacob was left alone. And he wrestled with the man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Sometimes we need to get a hold of God. And not just, Lord help me. But beg God with tears and with sorrow and say, God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince thou hast power with God and with men and have prevailed. Can you get a hold of God? Absolutely. Can you get in touch with God? Absolutely. Will He give you wisdom? Absolutely. But you got to keep at it. You got to keep asking. You got to keep begging God. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And God never told him who he was, did he? But he knew. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You know, there's some things in life that we just can't handle. There's some times in life that we just don't know how to pray. The Bible says that God says that Jesus will pray for us. The Holy Spirit will pray for us. He'll help us in our needs and our wants. There are certain things in life that they just come tumbling down at us. We don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you where to turn. You turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't handle this thing. You take care of it. You're going to be up all night tonight. You take care of it. I'm going to sleep. Amen. A friend of mine, R.V. Clearwaters, great pastor of the Fourth Baptist Church of Minneapolis, Minnesota. His little girl had tonsillectomy. Took her tonsil out. And while things were getting finished at the hospital, all of a sudden she began to bleed out. And the doctors came in and he said, I've been up for two nights straight. He said, the thought occurred to me in Psalm 121, he never slumbers nor sleeps. And he said, God, you're going to be up. I got to get some sleep. I'm going to die if I don't get some sleep. And he said, I just turned it over to the Lord. Hey, that's a bright idea. Huh? That's a good idea. Just turn it over to the Lord. Is the Lord going to take care of it? He's going to take care of it. It's the will of God's going to take care of it. Yes, it's going to be perfect for what God wants. Amen. So here's Esau, and he gets a hold of God, and God says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make a great nation of you. And now look at Genesis chapter 33 and verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him... And he divided the children unto Leah and Rachel and unto the two handmaids. So what did he do? He made four different groups. And he put the handmaids of their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. So you can kind of tell he's got a little bit thing going there that he loves Rachel more than anybody, and he loves Joseph more than anybody. And he passed over before them and bowed himself. The other day, I was reading this. I don't know that I've ever thought of this. We think of Joseph going down into Egypt and becoming a slave boy and then coming in jail. We see that, right? Well, many times we don't think that he's in this procession going through the country and he's going to meet Uncle Esau. We don't realize that, but he was there. You know that? So he knew a lot of things going on in life, didn't he? And he passed over them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until came near his brother. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around people from the Middle East, but you'll see sometimes they go like this. How many have ever seen that? Well, actually, they're saying, I bow to you. And this is what he did. He did it seven times. He bowed to them, showing great respect to Esau. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. I don't know about you, but I think that I seen yesterday coming at me, I'd go, yeah, that'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? He said, I'm going to kill you. But there's been time now, quite a bit of time now, that it's happened. And Esau runs and embraces and fell down his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Isn't this Esau that hated his brother? Isn't this Esau that looked for ways to kill him? But God gave Jacob wisdom and gave power to meet his feuding brother. Wow. I think the third question should be, when will God give us this wisdom? Just simply, when we ask him. When we ask him. His promise is very simple. And with that promise, he will not upbraid us. I was reading a devotional, Charles Spurgeon. If you ever find these, it's called Morning and Evening. Charles Spurgeon writes a devotional called Morning and Evening. And this is what he writes. He giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Not one hint that we are burdensome to him. Not one cold look for his poor parishioners. But he rejoices in his mercy and presses us to his bosom while he pours out his life for us. We must continue to ask, not just presenting our petition once, but again and again. I thought that was some pretty good stuff. You know, God wants to hear from us. I don't know. I see some men out here that have children. And I really don't know a dad that, when a son says, Dad, I don't understand this, can you show me? I don't know about you, but I was always meticulous to teach my boys things that they wanted to learn. Very meticulous to them. When they were little guys, I taught them how to tie a knot on a fishing hook. Taught them how to tie a knot on a fishing hook. Taught them how to use a good fishing pole. I didn't get them a bunch of those little Snoopy fishing deals. I got them real good fishing. I got them Mitchell 300s. And back in those days, those were really good open-face reels. And you say, but didn't they have trouble with them? Yeah. Seems like they don't have trouble with them now. Was it hard for them to learn something? A few things, yeah. But as a father, and when they say, Dad, help me, then I'd stop and meticulously take care of that business because I wanted to train them. I wanted to show them exactly how to do it, how they get through life. And I think you think of our Almighty God who loves us so much. He gave his only begotten Son for us. And he said, now listen, if you lack wisdom, you come to me and you ask me and I'll show you and I won't upbraid you. I won't get after you. I won't fuss with you. I know there's some dad to do that. I'll get out of the way. I had one guy in my church back in Delavan, Minnesota. This guy was he was in his 40s, maybe 45. He couldn't even change a tire. He's a farm guy. And I couldn't figure this guy out until I met his father. His father was very abusive to this guy. I don't know why this guy stayed on the farm with his dad. I have no idea. Very abusive. And one time, his wagon had a flat tire. And I'm going like, shoot, I was changing flat tires when I was 10 years old. And I'm going like, oh, we can do it. And just then, his dad came out, and he cursed to that guy, and he said, get out of the way, I'll get it done. How's this guy ever going to learn anything? You know, and that's the evil part of the world, not your God. Your God loves you and wants to teach you. He wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to have a good mommy and a daddy. He wants you to be a good son and a good daughter. He wants you to be a good Sunday school teacher. He wants you to be a good deacon. He wants you to be a good leader. He wants you to be good at it. God doesn't not want you. He wants all to be successful and to do great things for God. But there's people who are just unwilling to even try it, to find out what God has for us. So his promise is very simple. Very simple. There's an interesting word in the Bible that, and we talk about how that we ask. There's a very interesting Bible. It's called supplication. Dahalis. That's a Greek word which translated 12-time prayer. The King James translated Dahalis as prayer 12 times, supplication 6 times, and request 1 time. So when you read the Bible about someone or some nation that is supplicating, it means that they're in great need, or they're in great misfortune, or tribulation, or famine, or hunger, or starvation, impoverished. And great want or bereavement and poverty and deprivation. And they're begging God. I mean, they're getting a hold of, you hear them say, getting a hold of throne, getting a hold of the horns of the altar. The word supplicate carries with a sense of seeking and asking and treating of God and entreating to man. It's a very common term used for the special kind of prayer of imploring requests, prayers for obtaining blessings, supplication for averting evil which we fear. So when we ask God, don't stop asking, keep at it. Jesus talked about the man that came and said, hey, wake up in there. So I got some family coming to see me and we're hungry, we need some bread. And the guy said, hey, we're all in bed. And the Bible said he kept supplicating with him. And finally the guy did, he got up and said, how much bread do you want? I'm getting rid of you, man. You're driving me crazy. Same way as he talked about the judge. He didn't fear God or man, he said. And this widow says, avenge me. He said, I ain't avenging nobody. She says, avenge me. And she kept at it. And finally said, okay. Number one, we have a God that loves us. And he cares for us. And he knows our needs and knows our wants and knows our position that we're in. And he wants to help us. But he wants us to ask him. He wants us to ask him. Fourth question we should be is, how do we get the wisdom that we all so desperately need? Well, Psalm says, Psalm 1, 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. Man says, what does meditate mean? Well, it reminds me of an old cow. Cow has 4 stomachs. They go out, they gather, they come back, they chew and swallow. And then they bring it back up, chew it again and swallow, bring it back up, chew it and swallow. That's called meditating. Work out on things you've got, and you're thinking about them, and you meditate. The Bible says, you take the Word of God, read it, and meditate on it. Great way to meditate on the Word of God is learn memory scriptures. It's a wonderful way to memorize Scripture. You read the Scripture and you meditate it. And you read the Scripture and you meditate on it. You read the Scripture and meditate. And he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Bible. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Psalm 119, verse 104a. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, Colossians 3:16. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's an easy way to learn Scripture by having a song with it. Amen. I think of the singer used to be out from California. He put a lot of the Psalms is it Miller? Yeah, put the Psalms into songs form. And every once in a while, I'll read a portion of Scripture, and just like that, I remember the song that they sang. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Good to have Scripture in your heart. You got to have it in your heart. You got to read it and memorize it. Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to act. And most of all, how I'm supposed to react. How? By the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God. Somebody asked me a while back. Says, well, Pastor, what do you think about this? I said, what does the Bible say? I think it was D.L. Moody that said, answer a man's question with the Word of God. Answer a man's question with the Word of God. Well, that's what the Bible says about that. Had a fellow tell me that he felt that it was okay to do some things. And I said, no, that's not what the Bible says. You know what that rascal said to me? Well, I don't care. And I said, you're right. And that's why Paul told Timothy to find faithful men. Teach also to faithful men. There's certain people who are just not faithful. They don't know the Word of God. They don't really care. They want it their way. You know, they're the one that's singing, I want it my way. Well, I want it God's way. Because God's way is perfect way. And if I find something in the Word of God that I have been going against, brother, I'm going to change right there. I'm 180 degree right there, man. I'm going to turn. I'm going to run away from that, amen. Now, there's a lot of things in our lives that we see happening in our lives and say, wait a minute, something is not right. And we find something in the Word of God and say, whoa! That was like years ago when we had a president that I said publicly, it's no different than Ahab and Jezebel on the kingdom. No different. And I'll be honest with you, I wore them out. I just wore them out until I was reading the Scriptures in Corinthians where it says that we should honor, honor those that are in authority and on and on and on. I thought, I can't do that. And I stood up in the church and I apologized. I said, man, you know what, I still don't like what they do. But I said, thus saith the Lord God. You know, when Paul wrote that, you know who quote-unquote, the king or the president, you know who it was? Nero. Nero was the guy that would wrap the Christians in burlap, pour oil on them, and use them as lampposts and light them up when he was having his parties out at his place. And his whole, the lane up to his palace, there was Christians burning at the stake. They'd wrap them and pour oil on them and light them. And Paul the Apostle says, hey, you better be careful how you treat dignitaries. Amen. I'm really concerned about the way people are treating our government today. I'm really worried about And let's really pray that God will help our country to believe it. Now I want you to notice the Spirit of God in His giving. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. You get that? Liberally. I like people give liberally. Amen. Our mission, we're going to have our mission conference, and I like y'all give liberally. I want you to sign up there for, I want the teenage kids to sign up. I want the kids to sign up for one of those badges that have their name on it. Amen. You say, but it's $30. Give liberally. Give liberally. Man, I like people giving me liberally. Amen. I like it when people help me out and help me. I'm sure that you do too. God promised to give with an open hand to all men without upbraiding. Look, He will give liberally. He gives. He's given. His giving does beyond our asking or even our intelligence. This is what David said. Psalm 4:1. I'd write this down if I was you. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Look here, Psalm 6:8. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried upon my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even unto His ears. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cry unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 118 and verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. You see, God will give to us ungrudgingly. He will give to us without criticizing us. He will give to us without scolding. Have you ever been around somebody and they give you something but they gripe about it? And all of a sudden you just say, hey, I don't want that. Listen, God will not reproach the supplicant. He will not scold the beggar. He will not reprimand our ignorance. He will not scold our foolishness when we are asking for wisdom. He promises to utter no word of disapproval to us when we come to Him. He brings up nothing from the past. Amen? I'm glad about that. He promises wisdom and is glad that we're asking. It's almost like when you ask God, God says, hey, thanks for asking. Thanks for asking. Why in the world would God tell us to ask for wisdom when He would not freely give it to us? Why wouldn't a parent want to give his or her child more information so that they would be able to know how to act and how to live? Why would we ever want to do that? If they ask to be more helpful, if they ask to be more wise, if they ask to be more have more knowledge, if they ask to be prudent, they ask to learn, if they ask to be more keen on things, if they ask to be more intelligent, more discriminate. Boy, God help our farsightedness. Amen. When a child asks for wisdom and asks, wants to be wiser, asks for insight. I've seen some parents that said, get away from me. You know, get away from me, boy, you bother me. Go on, shoo, get out of here. And the guy's kid saying, why, huh? Oh, he's trying to figure out some things in life. Well, how many times are you going to ask me that? Well, many times you're not going to tell me. I want to know what's going on here. Kids, they're driving you nuts. But you're raising those children. Those are yours. Those are precious things. They're the only thing you'll ever take to heaven. You're not going to take that brand new boat. You're not going to take that brand new motorcycle. You're not going to take that brand new four-wheeler. You're not going to take that new house. You're not going to take that... I was going to say dog, but hopefully we'll have dogs. Let me tell you something. That child is most precious. By the way, you better be good to him because he's going to choose your rest home. Hey, you're trying to teach them. God has given to you them to upbraid them, to bring them to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your job. And when you do not correct them and give them timeouts, you're cheating that kid. You're cheating him. You're taking away knowledge from him to find out that, you know what, if you do that, you're going to be punished. Because someday he's going to be pulled over by this red and blue light thing behind him. And he's not going to know what to do. He may yell out something smart. You may be going down to the pokey and having to get him out of there. Because really, it's your stinking fault that you didn't teach that boy that we have laws in this country, and these laws are so that we can live in peace with one another. Now just figure this out, okay? You live out here in Montana. The other day, I drove from Great Falls all the way to Holder Lake on the non-express lane, okay? I just took every, you know, the recreation road. I think I met maybe two or three cars all the way there. If you're out by yourself, you don't need laws. Because if you want to be goofy, you can be goofy. You want to have loud music, you don't have loud music, because it don't bother anybody. But once you get somebody move in next to you, now we got problems. You can't shoot 11, 12 o'clock at night. You can't mow your lawn at 6 in the morning. You know. There's certain laws that we have so that we can live in, you know, freedom. And that we can live in a respectable way next to our neighbors. It's laws. So we put a stop sign out here so that we're going to be safe. And you need to drive through that stop sign. All of a sudden, we thought that we were going through a right-of-way, and no longer it's a right-of-way, because that guy in the stop sign, he pulled out in front of you, and you T-boned him. And he T-boned you. Well, that's why we put laws. That's why we have speed limits. Speed limits protect. And out in Montana, thank God for 80-mile-an-hour speed limit. I liked it better when it was, prudent. Drive with prudent until nighttime. I liked that. That was wonderful. About killed all of us when they put it down to 55. Oh, my goodness. My wife got her first ticket in the 55 miles that she was driving. Pretty good. And I just let her drive. I mean, we're going to Billings, and that one stretch, it's a killer, you know. And all of a sudden, just about to Harlow Town, she cried. She said, "Man, what are you crying about?" She said, "This is the first ticket I ever got in my life." "Oh," she said, "it's only $5 there." "Yeah, but it's a twice." I want to say. But there's laws out there. In the same way as the laws of God. We have certain things we ought to do in our life. And one of those things in our life is to raise our children properly and correctly. So I don't have to deal with your stinking kid. And the problem is, one of your stinking kids is going to marry one of my grandkids. You know, do you realize you're not raising those kids up for you? Those three boys right there, they're going to get married. And they're not going to marry you guys. They're going to marry some girls. And you better be praying right now for the parents of those girls to raise those girls up properly. And I hope that those parents, or you parents, are raising those boys up so that they'll have a lovely marriage. So those are the rules that we have. I digress here. So God promised to give us an open hand to all men without upbraiding. He will give liberally. His giving goes beyond the asking of our intelligence. David has had his needs supplied. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, is Psalm 4:1. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my cry. I hear my prayer. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard my voice and my weeping. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard my voice. This is Psalm 28, verse 6, and my supplication. He will give it ungrudgingly. He will give it without criticizing. He will give us wisdom without scolding. He will not reproach the supplicant. Why in the world would God tell us that he's going to do this if he wouldn't do it? God says, I will give you wisdom to live in this old blood-spattered world. God says, I will give you wisdom to live by my rules. And God says, I will give you wisdom to do what I tell you to do. When God says, I want you to know that salvation is free, he means it. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he means it. God says, he cannot lie. And so many times I run into people and they say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I said, well, this is what the Bible says. Well, I know the Bible says that, but in my heart I don't think of it. Well, it doesn't even make any difference what you think. It's what, thus saith the Lord God. Take what the Bible says, run with it, amen. Don't be questioning everything. You say, well, I don't know. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says I'm supposed to do that. Well, then do it. Well, that just doesn't seem right. All right, for instance, this to me doesn't seem right. The Bible says when someone comes up and asks you to borrow something, and you have it, the Bible says you're supposed to give it. If you can afford to give it. By the way, it is not up to the asker to tell you what God has told them. It's up to the giver to ask God what he's told him to do. You understand what I'm talking about? Here's a man who says, hey, God told me you need to give me $100. Well, God didn't tell me that. Well, he told me that. Well, you don't have $100, so how can you say that God told you that? Well, I just know. No, I'm not. No, that's not the way it is. If you have a need, you ask God to help you, and you may ask and say, I need some help. Can you help me? Well, how much you need? And you're thinking back in your mind, all guys, in the back of their billfold, I shouldn't tell this because the girls are going to look tonight, but all guys in the back of the billfold have something way back. How many of you guys believe that? How many of you guys do that? Yeah, come on, Michael. Doggone it, I know real men. Yeah, I know it. That's why his mind's empty in here. Somebody needs some help, and it got... And I had it. And I gave it. But this is what I can't figure out. God said, when you give it, do not expect it back. I tell parents all the time, when you give your kids something, just give it to them. Because all of a sudden, it kind of burns some bridges. Dad, can I borrow? No, you didn't borrow. Here. I got it. I'm going to help you with it. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. borrowing and paying back is kind of tough sometimes. Do you know that the people that have to borrow usually have to borrow some more and have to borrow some more? It's tough on them. And all of a sudden it screws with their brain. Because now they know I owe Mama and I don't have it, so I'm not stopping over to see Mama right now because I know I told Mama I'd pay it back and boy, that really messes the brain. So be careful when somebody comes up to you and say, well, God told me, and I'm going to call you a liar. If you came up to me and said, God told me to give you $100, I said, you're a liar. Because you don't have the $100. I've got the $100. You don't know what God told me. Now, if you want some help, don't you give me that baloney that God told you to come and ask me. I had a guy a little while back called me on the phone. He says, hey, we're having a hard time, blah, 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 and God wants me to ask you. I said, okay. And he said, what? I said, okay. But until I get the orders from headquarters, you ain't getting no quarters. This is the way it is. So that's where I believe that God gives us wisdom. That's where God, we say, dear God, hey, you know, I see this guy all the time. I see this guy, they've always got the newest iPhone, they always got the new iPad, they always got the newest car, and now you're going to come and ask me for something. Mama's always getting new fingernail polish. I found out how much those things cost. I'm glad Marcia don't do that anymore. And always this and always that. God's always got to get this and always got that. And I'm going like, I work hard. I try real hard to be very careful how I spend my money. I'm very careful to take care of the stuff that I have. I don't leave it outside. I'm very careful about the things that I do purchase. And so why should I? That's where you have to say, God, you've got to give me wisdom in this. Where do I turn on this? How do I know? How do I expect to do right on this thing? Hey, the person, they got trouble with something a long time. Well, why didn't they fix this stupid thing? It's easier just to beg somebody and borrow something from somebody else, right? So let's be careful. Let's be really godly Christians in this. Let's be very careful that how we act. Hey, you know what? It is our responsibility to give. God said we're supposed to help the poor. Didn't he? God said help the poor. And I don't begrudge that. But I do begrudge people to take advantage. They shouldn't be doing that. You know, there's certain things that you shouldn't expect out of life. That's where we've got into this deal in America where, well, they call it the entitlement program. You all like that entitlement program? You're paying for all this stuff that... Hey, when a man's hurting at that, I'm the first guy to say, hey, I'm here for you, buddy. I'm here. But when you take advantage of the entitlement programs, I don't know. The Bible said for a man shouldn't eat. Unless a man work, he shouldn't eat. And work hard. Work hard. Spend the time. Put the time in. Amen. Well, I got away from what I was going in. But anyway. Just trying to pastor you. Just trying to get you to understand things. Get you to grow up. Get you to set your sights on things that are right and things that are proper. Be more like Jesus Christ. I like what they say. What would Jesus do in this? What would Jesus do? Here's a man needs some help. Like Pastor Franke who said, ma'am, I can't help you. I just can't help you. I said, wait a minute. Goes, prays. What did God do? Remember now, he's the one that has the resource, right? Not the widow. She has nothing. He goes, he prays. And what's the Holy Spirit do? Pricked his heart. And so what did he do? He gave the ducat of gold to her. And two days later, what started happening? Did you know that it was 2 days later? Sometimes, you know, God is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. And the things that we think that we cannot do and things we can't do, boy, God just, it's there. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I ask you to be help us to be wise. Help us, Lord, to have wisdom. Dear God, we beg you tonight. We implore you tonight. We supplicate to you tonight. God, I need wisdom. These folks need wisdom. Help us, Lord God, in our life to walk close to you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for all you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask my dear.